This is Bloomberg, the first word for this Friday, May 27th, 2016. Coming up this hour.
Oil is down today with Brent crude falling back below $50 a barrel as world equity markets are mixed.
A meeting of G7 leaders wrapped up in Japan. Among the issues discussed, the looming threat of a Brexit and the need for a global fiscal policy.
And we look ahead to U.S. GDP numbers out today at 8:30 Wall Street time.
President Obama is wrapping up his visit to Japan. Plus, could a debate between Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders become a reality? I'm Michael Barr. Those stories and more straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Yankee bats were quiet in a loss to Toronto. Golden State stays alive, trimming Oklahoma City series lead to 3-2. The Pittsburgh Penguins advance to the Stanley Cup Final.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg, the first word. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg, the first word is brought to you by Bentley University. What do tying up the finances at Converse and managing asset allocations at J.P. Morgan have in common? A business degree from Bentley University, because business is everywhere. Prepare here.
And it's 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning, little change to higher. S&P E-mini futures now up 2 points. Dow E-mini futures up 13. And NASDAQ E-mini futures showing more strength. They're up 9 points, or about 0.2%. DAX in Germany is a little change this morning. So is the CAC in Paris and the FT 100. The Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.4%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32. The yield 1.82%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.87%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.9% or 44 cents to $49.04 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $2.40 to $12.20.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1174. The yen, 109.68.
And a meeting of G7 leaders in central Japan ended today, despite Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's warning of looming global crisis. On a par with the 2008 Lehman collapse, he was not able to get his fellow world leaders to buy in. For more now, we go to Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann at the side of the talks in Japan. Yvonne.
The G7 nations didn't really buy this warning about a Lehman crisis. They failed to get that language into the policy communique. It was about the resilience of these economies, that they could avoid falling into a crisis. Now, in terms of a coordinated response, they did agree that it's going to be a policy mix of all of the above, monetary, fiscal, and structural reforms. When it came to each individual nation, however, they said it had to be according to each country's conditions. So still not that one prescription on growth, but FX policy also got a brief mention, reiterating what we heard from Sendai last week, that excessive disorderly moves have a bad impact on the economy, and that we shouldn't see nations going through this currency devaluation.
Thanks, Yvonne. That's Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann in Japan. And Prime Minister Abe also said he's getting closer to making a decision on a proposed sales tax increase. Abe says he'll make the decision before an upper house election this summer whether to go ahead with a planned hike next April.
Another issue addressed by G7 leaders was the prospect of a Brexit. A final policy declaration said a decision to leave the EU would pose a, quote, serious threat to global growth. Prime Minister David Cameron, in a speech following the meeting, doubled down on support for a Remain vote.
I've never been a closet Brexiteer. I'm absolutely passionate about getting the right result, getting this reform in Europe and remaining part of it. It's in Britain's national interest. That's what it is all about.
That's Prime Minister David Cameron speaking from Isoshima, Japan. Meantime, in Britain, the Treasury warns that a decision to leave could cause pensioners to lose as much as $440 billion in assets.
Philips Lighting shares jumped in their trading debut after Dutch parent company Royal Philips raised $839 million in an initial public offering of the world's biggest lighting business. Philips Lighting CEO Eric Rondolat, speaking on Bloomberg Television, said that investors should think of his company as a quality investment.
Philips Lighting is a company that has a very strong leadership in the lighting industry. You know, we are more than twice bigger our next competitor, and we have distinctive competitive advantages that make the investment case solid.
That's Philips Lighting CEO Eric Rondolat speaking on Bloomberg TV. Shares of the company up more than 7% in Amsterdam this morning.
The scandal engulfing LendingClub hit Britain's peer-to-peer lending market just as it was getting ready to go mainstream. In April, the UK government deemed that loans created through online platforms represent a new asset class safe enough for households to invest in tax-free. That promised to boost Britain's industry, which is about a fifth the size of the U.S.
The Commerce Department today issues data on first quarter economic growth. Economists now forecast GDP rose at a 0.9% rate in the first quarter, and that would be a bit more than the government's initial report. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has that story from the First Word desk.
Bloomberg Intelligence says consumer spending could contribute to an upward revision. Consumer spending accounts for about two-thirds of economic activity. Construction spending could also provide a boost. In its initial estimate, the Commerce Department said first quarter GDP rose just 0.5% at an annual rate, the weakest showing since early 2014. At the Bloomberg First Word desk, I'm Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Radio.
Vinnie, thanks. Federal Reserve Governor Jerome Powell, speaking at the Peterson Institute for International Economics in Washington, said that the U.S. economy has made substantial progress and suggested he would support a rate hike in the near future.
The incoming data continues to support those expectations. I would see it as appropriate to continue to gradually raise the federal funds rate. Depending on the incoming data and the evolving risks, another rate increase may be appropriate fairly soon.
Federal Reserve Governor Jerome Powell, Fed Chair Janet Yellen will be speaking at Harvard later today. Many view it as her last chance to prepare the markets for a June rate increase. We will bring you that speech live at 1:15 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio and on the Bloomberg Terminal using the function Live Go.
Grupo BTG, the Brazilian bank that was forced to sell assets after the arrest of its founder last year, is exploring the sale of its 50% stake in an African joint venture with state-run oil company Petrobras. That's according to people with knowledge of the matter. And futures this morning higher. S&P E-mini futures up 2 points. Dow E-mini futures up 18. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 10. NYMEX crude oil is lower, down 0.7% or 33 cents at $49.15 a barrel. The euro's at $1.1174, the yen 109.68. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street this hour. The first word is brought to you by Westchester Subaru. Visit westchestersubaru.com. It has been a day of high emotion and drama for President Obama in Japan. Let's bring in Michael Barr with the latest now. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President Barack Obama is wrapping up his Japan trip. He visited Hiroshima today, becoming the first U.S. president to walk the ground where about 140,000 people died from a U.S. atomic bomb during World War II. The president participated in a quiet remembrance, including a wreath-laying ceremony.
We come to mourn the dead, including over 100,000 Japanese men, women, and children. Thousands of Koreans, a dozen Americans held prisoner.
The president reiterated his hope for a world without nuclear weapons. Could a debate between Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders become a reality? Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports the two presidential candidates have been talking about it.
With the backdrop of Associated Press tracker poll saying that Trump has enough delegates for the nomination and that California is basically a dead heat on the Democratic side, Trump and Sanders sounds serious.
I'd love to debate him, but I want a lot of money to be put up for charity. So what we'll do is if we can raise for maybe women's health issues or something.
I'm very excited about it. And I think we're going to have to rent out the largest stadium you have here in California.
That is Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reporting. Democratic presidential frontrunner Hillary Clinton campaigned in San Francisco last night. Clinton continued to hammer Donald Trump over his refusal to disclose his tax returns. Clinton says we've seen just 2 years of Trump's tax returns.
Those 2 years showed something really interesting. It showed he had not paid a penny in federal income tax.
Clinton says she and her husband have disclosed 33 years of their returns. French President Francois Hollande says he will not back down from changes in the country's labor law. Opposition to the labor law in France has led to strikes. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists and more than 150 news bureaus around the world. I'm Mike Lubar. Bob?
Mr. Morrow, thank you. It's 6:09 on Wall Street. That is time for your Land Rover Parsippany Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. Steph Curry struggled in Golden State's two lopsided losses at Oklahoma City. People wondered if he was still injured. The two-time MVP looked fine last night. 31 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 steals. The Warriors stayed alive, 120-111 to cut the Thunder's lead to 3-2 as Curry goes back to OKC for Game 6 tomorrow.
We didn't give ourselves any chance to be competitive in OKC. And tonight we finally showed what we're capable of, and we have to, take that game and travel for Game 6. So, we're excited about that opportunity that we have and, another game to play.
Klay Thompson had 27 points. Kevin Durant had 40, and Russell Westbrook 31 for the Thunder. Mike D'Antoni used to coach the Knicks as well as the Suns and Lakers. Hired in Houston, Miami assistant David Fizdale hired in Memphis. The Rangers got a good look at just how well the Pittsburgh Penguins were playing back in round one. Penguins finished the regular season winning 14 of 16, and it has carried over. They won Game 7 from Tampa Bay 2-1 as rookie Brian Rust scored twice in the second period to the Stanley Cup Final. Pittsburgh versus San Jose, Game 1 Monday. Yankees begin a 10-game road trip tonight at Tampa Bay, coming off two losses that followed six straight wins. They managed just three singles off Jay Happ after a Starlin Castro home run in the first inning. Blue Jays beat Joe Girardi's team 3-1.
This is baseball. I mean, this is what happens. You just can't let it carry over. We have an important road trip. We're going down to Tampa, and I continually talk about winning series. Just win series on this road trip.
Mets host the Dodgers tonight, and the Dodgers starting 19-year-old lefty Julio Urias from Mexico. He's been dominant in the minor leagues. Mets a game behind Washington, who topped St. Louis 2-1. Bryce Harper, an upper deck home run. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower.
John, thanks. Countdown to the latest GDP data and to Janet Yellen's latest public pronouncements. We'll be getting a preview just ahead with Carl Riccadonna, Chief U.S. Economist for Bloomberg Intelligence. Stay with us. S&P E-mini futures up less than 2 points right now, which is less than a tenth of 1%. Dow E-minis higher by 15 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures up by 9 points. This is Bloomberg. And the sports report was brought to you by Land Rover Parsippany. If it's in your nature to cast off the everyday and seek adventure, the Discovery Sport was built to help you search. Visit LandRoverParsippany.com or 1-800-FIND-4WD. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Today we are watching for a report on first quarter gross domestic product. It's out at 8:30 Wall Street time at 10. It's consumer sentiment from the University of Michigan. Global equities are headed for their highest close in 3 weeks. The dollar is rising versus most peers as investors wait to see whether comments from Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen will disrupt the calm that's settled over financial markets. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P E-mini futures, they're up about 2 points. Dow E-mini futures up 14. And NASDAQ E-mini futures are up 9. The DAX in Germany, little changed, as well as the CAC in Paris and FT100. The 10-year Treasury up 1/32. The yield is 1.82%, yield on the two-year, 0.87%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.8% or 37 cents to $49.11 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $2.20 to $12.20.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.1175, the yen, 109.66. Lenovo Group's fourth quarter revenue slumped 19% and profit missed analyst estimates as the company struggled against falling PC sales and plunging mobile shipments in China and North America. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Barack Obama visited Hiroshima's Peace Park, making him the first U.S. sitting president to visit the city where America dropped an atomic bomb in 1945. President Obama said that the visit is an opportunity to honor the memory of the 140,000 people lost. The chief investigator in the Egypt airplane crash that killed all 66 people on board last week says search teams in the Mediterranean have picked up a beacon believed to be from the aircraft. The lead investigator says this narrows down the search to a 3-mile radius. In sports in Major League Baseball, the Yankees lost, the Nationals won, the Orioles lost. In the NBA Western Conference Finals, the Warriors live to see another day. Golden State beat the Thunder. Oklahoma City still leads that series 3-2. NHL playoffs, the Penguins in advance to face the Sharks in the finals. More on these and other stories at the bottom of the hour.
Bloomberg Intelligence, valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
And Bloomberg Intelligence brought to you by CIT, from transportation to healthcare to manufacturing. CIT offers commercial lending, leasing, and treasury management services for small and middle market businesses. Learn more at CIT.com. Put knowledge to work. So the economists we've surveyed here at Bloomberg are telling us the U.S. economy probably expanded in the first quarter slightly more than previously estimated. The Commerce Department's report on gross domestic product due out at 8:30 this morning, Wall Street time. We will, of course, have full coverage and analysis for you, and that includes our very own Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist for Bloomberg Intelligence. Carl, good morning. Let me get this out of the way first. We're carrying Janet Yellen's remarks at Harvard early this afternoon, should they disrupt the markets. How much does she have to say, given the hawkish drumbeat that we've heard from Fed officials lately?
I think the work has been done from policymakers, and that Chair Yellen can sit back and enjoy her awards and recognitions today. It's Harvard's Radcliffe Day, and it's really an event to honor her accomplishments and really not the ideal platform for her to really fine-tune her plans for monetary policy. Now, the good thing is there's another Janet Yellen speech on the calendar before we get to the June FOMC meeting. And so a week from today, we'll be getting the May employment report. And the Monday after that jobs report, we hear from Chair Yellen again. I think that's the more appropriate platform. So today may be just a nice, easy college event.
Not likely, though, that she can completely ignore the economic picture in her remarks today, right?
Well, I think she's just going to basically express her agreement with the rhetoric that she's heard previously. So no fine-tuning, but express solidarity with a wide range of Fed policymakers who have really come out in favor of a mid-year move, although mid-year does not necessarily mean June. It could mean a July meeting, and I think we saw hints of that from Governor Powell yesterday.
Well, since we've heard that this is a data-driven Fed, let's talk about the GDP data, and what are you expecting?
Well, this is definitely an important report to track. This is the second print on first quarter GDP. The initial print showed us a growth of just 0.5%, which was a troubling stall, potentially due to some statistical issues, but nonetheless, a weak report that makes the hurdle to hit the Fed's full-year growth target that much higher. They want to see full-year growth of about 2%. And if you're only growing 0.5 in Q1, that means you have to grow approximately 2.8% over the remaining three quarters, which would be a relatively fast pace compared to what we've seen over the course of the last 7 years of this economic cycle. If we see Q1 revised higher, which I think is likely, probably still south of 1%, but maybe 0.9, 0.8, then that makes the hurdle a little bit lower for the remainder of the year. That being said, consumer spending should be an addition. Business investment spending may be an even bigger drag. What's most important, I'll argue, is the print on corporate profits, economy-wide corporate profits. This is well, it's the second print on GDP. It's the first print on corporate profits. And the corporate profits news has not been favorable. They've been in negative territory four of the last five quarters. And if the economy was growing only at a very slow pace in Q1, they may be negative yet again.
So what changed to bump this number up?
Well, we saw slightly stronger consumer spending. We saw a big increase in April retail sales, but also some favorable backward revisions. And that will help. And also the construction spending figures were supportive of a slightly stronger number as well.
And quickly, does this signal anything about the payroll numbers we're going to be getting next week?
That's why that corporate profits number is so important. If corporate profits continue to sink, it's hard to envision companies sustaining the pace of hiring that we've seen over the last couple of years.
Carl Riccadonna is Chief U.S. Economist for Bloomberg Intelligence. Thanks very much. And again, those GDP numbers are out from the Commerce Department this morning at 8:30 Wall Street time, and we will have complete coverage. S&P E-mini futures up a single point right now, a tenth. Well, now 2 points, a tenth of 1%. Dow E-mini futures higher by 13 points. NASDAQ E-minis up by 9 points. Treasury prices are higher this morning. The yield on the 10-year down to 1.82%. West Texas Intermediate crude is down 0.75% this morning to $49.10 a barrel. Brent crude down below $50 now, down to $49.05. That is down 1%. You're listening to Bloomberg, the first word on Bloomberg Radio. And Bloomberg, the first word, brought to you by the Suffolk County IDA, financial incentives and programs to help your business thrive on Long Island. Visit suffolkida.org.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, SiriusXM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg, the first word.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. A G7 meeting has concluded in Japan. World leaders tangled over how to push the global economy toward growth amid an array of risks, including geopolitical tensions, a slowdown in China, and Britain's potential exit from the European Union.
The UK Treasury warns that an exit from the EU could cause British pensioners to lose as much as $440 billion in assets. The Treasury's latest analysis says a vote for Brexit risks fueling a rise in inflation, turmoil in financial markets, and a drop in asset prices.
Google has won a jury verdict that kills Oracle's claim to $9 billion slice of the search giant's Android phone business. The story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Oracle contended that Google needed a license to use its Java programming language to develop Android, the operating system in 80% of the world's mobile devices. Jurors in San Francisco federal court rejected that argument and concluded Google made fair use of the code under copyright law. A decision against Google had the potential to give significantly more weight to software copyrights and to spur litigation to protect those added rights. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Charlie. Hedge funds and banks are hoping to cash in on the uncertainty of the Brexit vote. Hours before the results are known, two opinion polling companies say they've been approached by bankers looking for early insights. The need for information is huge because there won't be any official exit poll once voting ends at 10 p.m.
And Janet Yellen speaks at Harvard today. Some view it as an opportunity to prime the markets for a June interest rate increase. You can hear that speech live on Bloomberg Radio today at 1:15 Wall Street time.
And the Volatility Index Report is brought to you by CBOE, VIX Options and Futures. Volatility can be harnessed with CBOE, VIX Options and Futures. See disclosures and learn more at cboe.com/powerfuloutcomesVIX. The VIX was down 3.4% yesterday to close at 13.43, and separately in today's extended morning trading, VIX futures are up less than a tenth of 1% to 13.44. That's this morning's volatility report.
And futures are a little changed to higher. S&P E-mini futures up a point, Dow E-mini futures up 12, and NASDAQ E-mini futures up 9. The 10-year Treasury up 1/32. The yield 1.82%. Yield on the 2-year 0.87%. NYMEX crude oil down 1% or 48 cents to $49 a barrel. COMEX gold down a tenth of a percent or $1.70 to $12.21 an ounce. This is Bloomberg.
And we move along to 6:33, Karen, on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Outstanding offers are in full bloom at your Mercedes-Benz Tri-State dealers. Take advantage of limited-time lease and finance programs on select models this spring season. Visit mbusa.com for details today. President Obama made history today. Let's bring in Michael Barr with the latest now. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe says President Barack Obama's visit to Hiroshima will give a big boost to efforts to achieve a nuclear-free world. President Obama is the first U.S. president to stand on Hiroshima's hallowed ground where about 140,000 people were killed when the U.S. dropped an atomic bomb on the western Japanese city during World War II.
71 years ago, on a bright, cloudless morning, death fell from the sky and the world was changed.
The president placed a wreath at the site before wrapping up his visit to Japan. A debate between Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. Trump says that he will do it for a donation of at least $10 million to women's health causes. Several TV networks are not commenting on whether they'd agree to Trump's terms. Sanders, speaking to supporters in Ventura, California, says he'd want the biggest stadium possible for the debate. Environmentalists are concerned Donald Trump would give polluters a free pass. In his first energy policy speech, Trump told supporters in Bismarck, North Dakota, that he would save industries threatened by Hillary Clinton's agenda.
We're going to save the coal industry. We're going to save that coal industry. Believe me, we're going to save it. I love those people.
Trump says the U.S. will be totally energy independent under his presidency. Hillary Clinton campaigned in San Francisco last night, calling for sustainable energy sources.
I want us to deploy a half a billion more solar panels by the end of my first term and enough clean energy to power every home in America by the end of the second term.
The chief investigator in last week's Egypt Air plane crash says search teams in the Mediterranean have picked up a beacon believed to be from the Airbus A320. The lead investigator says this narrows the search down to a 3-mile radius, but he says that does not mean the all-important flight data and cockpit voice recorders have been found. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists and more than 150 news bureaus around the world. I'm Mike LaBar. Bob?
Thanks, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Your Land Rover, Parsippany, Bloomberg NBC Sports Update now. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Morning, Bob. Until the other night, the Warriors had played 95 games, had never lost two in a row. They weren't going to lose three straight, though. Oklahoma City did take a 1-point lead in the third quarter. That lead was brief, the only one of the night. Golden State won Game 5, 120-111. Steph Curry, 31 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 steals. Klay Thompson scored 27. Andrew Bogut gave them a lift with 15 points, 14 rebounds. And Draymond Green, who really struggled in the two losses at Oklahoma City, played much better, as he expected the team to.
The way everybody reacted to losing, the way everybody talked and felt, and, you know, going in the film this morning, you could just see everybody was up. And I knew then that everybody was ready to go and was going to bring that dog to the game.
So it's now 3-2 Thunder with Game 6 tomorrow at OKC, where the Warriors lost twice by a combined 52 points. Tonight, Cleveland brings a 3-2 lead to Game 6 at Toronto. The Stanley Cup final will be San Jose and Pittsburgh. Penguins, who in their history have lost 5 Game 7 home games, won this one 2-1 over Tampa Bay, completing a comeback from a 3-2 series deficit. All the scoring second period in the game with two rookie goalies, both Penguin goals scored by rookie Brian Rust, the second 30 seconds after Jonathan Drouin had tied it for the Lightning. Game 1, Cup Final Monday in Pittsburgh. Pitchers duel at the stadium. Toronto's Jay Happ allowed only a Starlin Castro home run in the first inning. CC Sabathia gave up only two unearned runs, but the Blue Jays won 3-1 over Joe Girardi's Yanks.
CC pitched great. He pitched extremely well, and we weren't able to get him any runs and kept his pitch count down. He did everything he needed to do to win the game. We just didn't score.
Alex Rodriguez 0-4 in his return. Carlos Beltran 0-4 with 4 strikeouts. Yanks at Tampa Bay tonight. Start a 10-game road trip. The Mets host the Dodgers. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower.
John, thank you very much. 6:37 on Wall Street. And the Bloomberg View is brought to you by Benzel Busch Motor Car in Englewood, New Jersey, offering a commitment to service, luxury, and value with total transparency from America's premier automotive dealership. Define the way you drive at BenzelBusch.com.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. The Department of Veterans Affairs hasn't exactly been a model of efficient healthcare recently, but its proposal this week to expand the role of nurses is a good idea that should be widely copied. The VA wants to let its most highly educated nurses treat patients without a doctor's supervision. That would let nurse practitioners, anesthesiologists, specialists, and midwives do the jobs they're trained for, diagnosing problems, interpreting test results, and prescribing treatments. The change would mean faster care for almost 6 million veterans, and it would be a better allocation of scarce resources, even if the best nurses still cost less than physicians. doctors' groups resist giving nurses more responsibility, arguing that letting even the best-trained nurses practice without supervision will undermine care. But that argument is unsupported by evidence. In overruling it, the VA can encourage a rethink by 24 states that still don't let nurse practitioners work without a doctor's oversight. In the complex world of health care, this is something rare. An easy fix. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Three drug makers have been subpoenaed in an expanded U.S. investigation. Gilead, Biogen, and Jazz Pharmaceuticals have been asked for documents related to charities that help people afford their products. As drug prices have surged, drug makers' contributions to charities have prevented a backlash, and they've helped keep patients from seeking lower-priced medicines. So far, Congress has not managed to create a national standard for labeling products made from genetically modified organisms, and Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack says that's causing a flawed de facto system to be created. Nancy Lyons has more from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Secretary Vilsack says in lieu of a national standard, companies like Kellogg and General Mills are coming up with their own labels. Bloomberg BNA's Casey Wooten explains why Vilsack is concerned.
This sort of creates a patchwork system in which each company has their own different standard, and the label looks differently on each package, which could create confusion among consumers.
The Senate in March defeated a voluntary labeling bill, so all eyes are now on Vermont, where a mandatory labeling law takes effect in July and could lead to a state-by-state adoption. Wooten says the two ranking members of the Agriculture Committee are still hoping for a national standard.
The clock is really ticking, and you know whether or not they're able to produce a deal is still up in the air, though they both say that they will.
Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Nancy, and this is Bloomberg. Coming up, the Bloomberg Green Report, brought to you by Wonder Capital, the leading solar investment platform that allows you to invest in large-scale solar projects while earning up to an 11% return. Learn more at wondercapital.com. That's Wonder with a U.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures, little change to higher this morning while the price of NYMEX crude oil falls. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. Small gains in the U.S. futures today, with Dow futures currently higher by 16 points. S&P's gained 2 and NASDAQ futures rise by 10. The U.S. 10 yield at 1.82%. And on the U.S. economic front at 8:30, GDP estimate 0.9%. At 10 o'clock, Michigan sentiment. And at 1:15, Yellen speaks in Cambridge. After the bell last night, Decker's year view trailed estimates. Palo Alto Networks Q4 revenue view midpoint also trailed estimates. Shares are down 10% pre-market. And Ulta Salon boosted year EPS growth and comp sales views. Regarding earnings this morning, Big Lots raised year adjusted EPS views. And in deal news, the Wall Street Journal reported Valeant rejected a takeover bid from Takeda and TPG. In other news, LendingClub set in talks with Citigroup for loan financing. Finally, some of your Wall Street upgrades and downgrades. Decker's cut to neutral over at Citigroup. At Deutsche Bank, Trina Solar and Palo Alto Networks cut to hold. Sanderson Farms downgraded to neutral at JP Morgan. And Nice Systems cut to neutral over at UBS. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk Go on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K Go. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, one retiree walking through Hiroshima, Japan's Peace Memorial Park says it is time for the U.S. and Japanese people to move forward without grudges. President Barack Obama visited Hiroshima today, becoming the first U.S. sitting president to walk the ground where 140,000 people died from a U.S. atomic bomb decades ago. The Scripps National Spelling Bee has ended in a tie for the third year in a row. A 13-year-old and an 11-year-old were declared co-champions last night after a roller coaster finish. Each will receive a trophy and $45,000 in cash. In sports in Major League Baseball, the Yankees lost, the Nationals won, the Orioles lost. In the NBA Western Conference Finals, the Warriors live to see another day. Golden State beat the Thunder, Oklahoma City still leads that series 3-2. In the NHL playoffs, the Penguins advance to face the Sharks in the finals. More on these and other stories within the hour. Bob?
Michael Barr, thanks very much. Time to check what's going on in D.C. today. And among the top stories in our nation's capital will not be Congress. It has gone home for the holiday. Making news this morning is a story from Bloomberg's Bill Allison on how presidential campaign fundraising is stacking up heading into the conventions and the general election. Bill joins us now, and good morning. Particularly, you focused on Hillary Clinton's fundraising apparatus.
Yeah, that's right. You know, this has been a very unconventional campaign season, with Donald Trump self-funding and Bernie Sanders and all the small donors. But, you know, we wanted to take a look at how Hillary Clinton has managed to raise, almost as much as Bernie Sanders. And she's really used the traditional kind of approach in campaigning. I know that's sort of counterintuitive, given that nothing else has been very conventional in this election. But we looked at, some of the big bundlers, the individuals who go out and hit up their networks of friends and raise, $100,000 or more for the campaign. And, they've raised at least, we can't really tell because their cutoff is $100,000, but these people have raised close to $42 million for her campaign.
With a nod to Bernie Sanders' campaign, do we know how much of that is Wall Street money?
We don't know exactly. I mean, she has gotten, we did take a look at, she's gotten $27 million from, and this includes the Super PAC and her joint fundraising committee, but she's gotten, quite a bit just from, hedge fund operators, private equity. We took a look at that a while back. We don't have an overall Wall Street number yet, but we're still looking at, some of them. But if you look at some of these bundlers, you've got people like, for example, Mark Lassery. You've got other folks who are on Wall Street. If you look at some of her top contributors, the entities that the employees work for, obviously the companies can't contribute to the campaign. You see like J.P. Morgan Chase and Bank of America and Morgan Stanley, and some of her bundlers come from those companies, and obviously they're hitting up their friends to give money to the campaign.
So versus the small donors that have fueled the Sanders campaign, how does that look on the Clinton side?
So this is one of the things I think that was really interesting when I was talking to folks is that Clinton has only raised about 20% of her contributions from small donors. And if you look at, what winning campaigns do, generally speaking, because they will excite, the grassroots, which give, they'll have a larger donor base. Usually it's around 30% that comes from small donors. And, one of the real warning signs for Mitt Romney in 2012 was he was only getting about 10% of his donations from small donors, which meant that he really hadn't excited the base. Clinton hasn't raised that much, but what she's doing is right now she's building a list. She's not asking these people for money who are on her email list that she sends emails out to. She's asking them, tell two or three more friends, get two or three more friends to sign up for the campaign. Mm-hmm. And when she does go out and start raising money, and there's most likely saving this for the general election, you may see those small donor numbers, shoot through the roof.
Bloomberg's Bill Allison, thank you very much. And you can read more about this story on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. Karen.
All right, thanks, Bob. It's time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Now here's John Tucker.
The fall in oil prices has slowed small business job growth in the north central part of the U.S. The Paychex IHS Small Business Jobs Index shows the regions that have grown with hydrocarbon fracking are now registering the lowest 1 month at 1 year's small business job growth rates. Marty Mucci is CEO of Paychex.
We've been seeing this in the kind of what we call the west north central region. And a lot of that is because the fracking has decreased and the oil prices are down, so fracking is down, and that had a lot of jobs around it in the Dakotas and so forth. So we kind of have seen that consistently where that's dropped small business job growth.
For the nation overall, small business job growth has been solid. The South Atlantic, including Florida, registered the fastest 3-month growth rate since 2012. Much of that growth was in construction. Among individual states, Washington remains top-ranked in the growth of small businesses. That's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
John Tucker, thanks very much. Now your Bloomberg Green Business Report. Donald Trump would like you to know that he supports renewable energy. What he doesn't like is killing eagles. In his first major energy policy speech, the presumptive Republican presidential nominee said renewable power should play a limited role in generating electricity, but he questioned federal subsidies and said that wind power is killing all the eagles. Addressing an oil industry conference in North Dakota, Trump complained that wind power is very, very expensive and doesn't work without subsidies. He also had a message to those who would phase out coal.
We're going to save the coal industry. We're going to save that coal industry. Believe me, we're going to save it. I love those people.
Environmentalists and clean power advocates were quick to condemn Trump's plan, saying it was riddled with inconsistencies, ignored the dramatic cost reductions of renewable energy, and overstated the impact of wind turbines. An industry group spokesman says rather than killing all the eagles, as Trump characterized it, fewer than a half dozen bald eagles have ever been struck. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. It's now 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
With Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton tied in the polls, anxious Democrats are wondering just how they should take him down. They could attack him as a misogynist, but they worry that they will compound his advantage with men. They could say he's a fraud, but voters distrust her, too. Democrats will be strongly tempted to attack Trump as a far-right extremist, but he's obviously not a conventional conservative. Clinton's most powerful message against Trump might be a non-ideological one. His lack of knowledge, seriousness, and impulse control make him too dangerous to put in the presidency. This strategy would present Clinton as the candidate of safety. The risk for her is that she would also become the candidate of the status quo when most Americans are dissatisfied with it. But the incumbent president has a 51% approval rating, so it may be a risk worth taking. If Clinton makes Trump's unfitness for the presidency the central message of her campaign, what she will be saying to Americans is, you may not like either of us, but you should fear him. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg commentaries can be heard hourly, weekday mornings.
And now let's check other stories making news this morning. And on Bloomberg Top, Bob, Hershey, Pennsylvania smells like chocolate. The street lamps are shaped like Hershey Kisses, and its roads bear names like Cocoa Avenue. So it's a bit strange that Hershey, the iconic 122-year-old candy giant, whose annual revenue swelled to more than $7 billion selling chocolate with peanut butter, chocolate with almonds, and just plain chocolate, would be staking so much of its future on a snack that's not chocolate. Hershey beef jerky. With sugar widely branded a healthy boogeyman, or a health boogeyman, and Americans cutting back on sweets in favor of Greek yogurt and protein bars, Hershey saw sales fall in 2015 for the first time in more than a decade. And to help turn the tide, the company is betting on the growing appetite for dried meat.
Somehow it just doesn't sound right, does it? Tech companies have an insatiable demand for bandwidth, so two of the largest are teaming up on a big intercontinental project. Microsoft and Facebook will build a 4,100-mile undersea cable stretching from Virginia to Spain. The cable will deliver faster online and cloud services to customers of both companies and will be completed by the fall of 2017. Karen.
All right, thanks, Bob. Customers can find these stories and more on the Bloomberg Terminal. And futures this morning higher. S&P E-mini futures up 2 points, and Dow E-mini futures up 17, NASDAQ E-mini futures up 9.5. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow. This is Bloomberg, the first word, and Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead on Bloomberg Radio.